Foxton Readers Level 4 The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells Retold by Jane Richards Read by Rick Romero Copyright Foxton Books 2024 Part 1 The Coming of the Martians Chapter 1 Until the end of the 19th century, no one believed that intelligent life existed anywhere except on planet Earth. Nor did anyone realize that Mars was cooling fast and the Martians were fighting for their lives. They needed somewhere else to live, and Earth could be the place. The Martians didn't care about the humans who lived on Earth. This might sound hard, but we should remember what was done to the Tasmanians. Europeans went to Tasmania and killed nearly all the people in just 50 years. Do we have the right to complain about the Martians when we have behaved like this? One summer, 6 years ago, I met an astronomer called Ogilvy. He told me that he had seen a ball of burning gas flying towards Earth. He took me to his observatory so that we could look through his telescope. I remember that evening well. It was black and silent inside the observatory, and we could see the stars through an opening in the roof. Through the telescope, I could see a circle of deep blue and a bright round red planet. All around it was black, empty space. And then I saw a flash. A ball of gas had left the planet and was moving towards us. Ogilvy and I watched it through the telescope until about 1 o'clock in the morning. Then we walked back to his house across his grass. "Do you think Martians are going to visit us?" I asked Ogilvy. "Not a chance," replied Ogilvy. "There is no intelligent life on Mars. That was just a huge shooting star." Hundreds of people saw the flame that night, and the next night another one was noticed. This went on for 10 nights, and then it stopped. The balls of burning gas were reported in the newspapers, but nobody knew what they were. Some, like Ogilvy, thought they were shooting stars. Others thought they were earthquakes on Mars, but no one thought they were weapons that were attacking Earth. Humans continued with their daily life, and I was busy learning to ride a bicycle. We had no idea that we would soon be under attack. I was working in my study one warm Thursday evening when the first thing landed on Earth. If I had looked out of my window, I would have seen it like a falling star. It was seen by many people, including poor Ogilvy. He worked out that it had landed near Woking, and he set off to try and find it. Soon after dawn on Friday morning, he found a huge crater in a field outside town, and the thing itself. It was mostly buried in sand, but a huge cylinder about 30 meters across was sticking out of the sand. Ogilvy was shocked to see the size of the thing, and he approached it slowly, but it was too hot to get very close. As Ogilvy looked at the cylinder, he noticed that the top part was rotating. It appeared to be a lid that could be removed. There was something inside the cylinder, and it was trying to escape. Ogilvy wanted to help the poor creature, and he moved towards the cylinder, but the heat kept him back. He turned and ran back to the town for help. There he found the journalist, Henderson, working in his garden. "Henderson!" he shouted. "Henderson, did you see the falling star last night?" Henderson was interested, and he stopped what he was doing. "Falling star? No. Why?" "I've just found it. It's a huge cylinder, and there's someone inside it who's trying to escape. Come and help me." The two men ran back to the cylinder. It was quiet now and nothing moved, so it appeared that the creatures inside were dead. Ogilvy and Henderson went back into Woking to tell the people there. They were dirty and red in the face from the heat from the cylinder, and they looked rather mad. The townspeople were opening their houses and shops for the day, and they didn't know whether to believe these two mad men. I first heard about it from my newspaper boy, who told me that dead men from Mars had been found near Woking. I immediately jumped on my new bicycle and went to see. There was a small crowd around the crater, and the grass around was burnt. I waited for a while, but nothing was happening, and Ogilvy was not there, so I went home to work. I found it very difficult to write anything, so in the afternoon I cycled back to see the cylinder. It was a hot day, and Henderson and Ogilvy were standing near the crater with some other astronomers. The cylinder itself was much cooler, and some men were standing on it. They were trying to open it up, but the top would not move. Ogilvy saw me. "We can't open it," he said, "but we can still hear some noises from inside." I watched and waited all afternoon, and more people arrived to see the cylinder. By sunset, there were 200 or 300 people there. I could see the cylinder very well, and then I heard a noise. I moved closer, and I saw that the top of the cylinder was being rotated by someone or something inside it. Then the top fell to the ground, and I saw a black hole. The sun was in my eyes, so I couldn't see very well, but I expected to see a man. But what I saw first were 2 large bright eyes, then something like a grey snake, and then another, moving in the air towards me. This ugly creature had tentacles.